This morning we are finishing our four-week series titled Controlling Your Anger Before It Controls You. There's a couple things we've learned about anger the past few weeks, and number one, it's anger is a natural and normal emotion. We are made in God's image, and he can get angry, we can get angry. The second thing we've learned is that when anger does happen, it's what we do with it that really counts. You see, when our thinking keeps the emotion in check, we're in good shape. But when the emotion overpowers our thinking, we respond in an inappropriate line and we cross the line and we react. And Paul says, be angry and sin not. And so we are in the business of growing and maturing spiritually so we can control our points of anger. Now, the title of today's message is this: Forgiveness and Anger. Forgiveness and Anger. Now, in your notes is a verse from Colossians 3:13, and I want you to read that with me. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. I want to talk about forgiveness today as it relates to anger. Now, we also learned that everybody here has a pain pocket. It's a container inside us, and what's in the pain pocket is unresolved emotions. Anger is one of them. And when an anger emotion is unresolved, it sits there. Now, here's what happens. Something triggers us. And if we're not careful, we tap into the fuel tank of anger in our pain pocket. And our response to a perhaps trivial trigger is disproportionate to how we should respond. It's because something inside us, there's unresolved fuel that somehow we tap into, and it kind of explodes on us. So in Dr. Gregory Yance's book, there's a statement there. I want to read it to you. It's in your notes. Here's what he says. Some things cannot be mitigated. They cannot be fixed. They cannot be removed. They can only be forgiven. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. It is a strategic, purposeful response to pain and injury, and may I add, that's in our pain pocket, one that can be acted on even if you don't feel like it. We're talking about the power of forgiveness of the unresolved anger in our life. I want to share a story with you about two sisters. The older one's name is Patricia. The younger one is Gina. They had a very, very poor mother. They had a mother that wasn't very kind, wasn't very loving, and it's now years later. And these two sisters are having a conversation. The one says to the other, Patricia, I don't understand how you, Gina, can even stand to be around her mother. How can you forget what she was like growing up? Gina replies, I haven't forgotten what she is like. I've forgiven her for what she was like. Patricia refuses to engage in anything more than a yearly cursory visit of her mother, while Gina has made it a point to spend time with her. Patricia clearly couldn't stand to be around her mother for very long unless it was absolutely necessary. Patricia, well, maybe you, Gina, have forgiven her, but I have not. If she came to me, her mother, and admitted how she messed up my life, maybe then I would think about forgiving her. But she has never done that, and she never will. Gina thought a minute and said, look, Trish, at her age, Mom is not going to change. She's not going to be anyone other than who she is. She had a hard life, It affected her ability to love and take care of us as kids. I guess I just got to the point in my own life where I had to let go of my anger over the way she was. Patricia, I don't see how you can just let go of that. Even if I could let go of the past, she's the same old mom. Negative, judgmental, critical. I can't remember the last time she had a good thing to say about me. I just can't stand to be around her. She drives me nuts. Gina, once I forgave her, it took away a lot of her power to drive me nuts. I'm not mad at her anymore over the past. So when she starts into that behavior now, I'm able to set really good boundaries. I let her know that I will what I will and won't accept. Patricia, how do you forgive someone who hasn't asked for it? I can forgive her because it's really my decision, not hers, said Gina. It's my decision, not hers, her mother. I need to forgive her more than she wants to be forgiven. I just didn't want to live with all that anger and bitterness inside me anymore. The only way to let it go was to forgive. Two sisters, same mother. One had a pain pocket full of unresolved anger, the older one, Patricia. The other one, listen, had emptied it out. She had dealt with it in such a way where it wasn't toxic anymore. So today, as we talk about forgiveness and anger, I want to talk about barriers of forgiveness. It may be a barrier of receiving God's forgiveness. It could be a barrier of giving forgiveness. Or it could be a barrier, listen closely, of forgiving yourself. And I brought some things with me today. Little clipboard's got a piece of paper on it. And I'm going to take this pen. And I'm writing the word forgiven on the paper. Some of you can't see it, but on the you can. It says forgiven. I'm going to take the same pen and write the word again on the right side. I just wrote forgiven, but you can't see it. You know why? There's wax paper on this side. This clipboard represents your heart. This white paper. This pen represents God's word. His love and grace is something called forgiveness. And when he wrote forgiven on this side, it showed up. When God writes forgiveness on this side, you can't see it. Jesus did not receive the ink. Nothing wrong with the pen. The ink works. What's wrong is the surface. Now, as I said, this side is a heart that is receptive to either receiving or giving forgiveness. This side, you can't see it. You know why? There's a film over it. There's a barrier. There's wax paper there. Nothing wrong with the ink. It's all about the surface of the heart. And so today, what I want to do, I want to walk through five barriers when it comes to forgiving people in relation to anger. And as I walk through it, here's the purpose of the message. I want you to gain some insight today. If you are having trouble with unresolved anger, I hope this message helps. Because the intent is when you understand why the barrier prevents me from forgiving or receiving it, I try to work on that and get past it. So let's get started. It's in your notes. Number one, the first barrier to forgiveness, or I'll refer to it as the wax paper on our hearts, is this. Something called perfectionism. Perfectionism. Now read with me the two verses, the next two in your notes. Do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or quantity. The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are His delight. Now you may be thinking, why are these verses in here? Let me explain. We all understand having honest scales. Whenever you do business, you want to operate with integrity and honesty, and you want the scales to balance in every transaction the best we can. So the word says, do not use dishonest scales when measuring. The Lord literally detests or abhors dishonest scales. He wants them to balance. Now here's the application point. We as Christians can have dishonest scales in our life. Let me give you an example. You may be here today, and you very quickly are ready to forgive a husband or a wife or a child or a friend or family member of something they did. It may take you a while to work through it, but you just forgive them. You come along and you do something in your life that it's a major misstep or a failure, and all of a sudden, instead of forgiving yourself, you hold it against yourself. You have two different scales in your life. One is to freely give grace to other people, but when it comes to yourself, you're not willing to forgive yourself. That is an unequal, dishonest scale inside you when it comes to extending and receiving forgiveness. James put it this way. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Here's what he's saying. You can bless other people and extend forgiveness and grace to them, but have you ever held yourself hostage or put yourself down when it came to forgiving yourself? You praise others, people, but you curse yourself. That is a dishonest scale. You have two different values. You apply this to this group, but this to yourself, and it's not the same. You see, perfectionism is this. I have to be perfect to receive God's forgiveness in my life. I have to go back to my own personal story when, as you know, I had a dad who died early. And I learned early in life, if I did well in a sports, on the sports field or in school and academics, and I was recognized, that made mom feel real good. And I got on a treadmill. I got on a pathway. It was unintentional, but I somehow learned if I performed well, happy. And I wanted to do that. I got into my late 20s and 30s, and I began to kind of unraveled. You know why? I thought it was all about performing to get God's grace and love. I applied it to my spiritual life. And when I failed miserably, my perfectionist was challenged, and I was hard on myself. I think everybody can relate to this. And so when you think about dishonest scales, here's the deal. Do you apply the same measure of grace toward yourself as you do towards other people? God says He wants the scales to balance. Now, perfectionism is performing to receive love. And let me tell you, this can be a dishonest standard when you use three things. Letter A, I use it against myself in receiving forgiveness from God. In other words, if you have a major mistake in your life and you have a hard time forgiving yourself, It's like, God, I blew it so bad, it's hard for me to receive your forgiveness. You know what? That's wax paper. The ink is okay, the pen is okay, but the surface of my heart is not. Letter B. Perfectionism is a dishonest standard when used against others in withholding love and affection. Let's say somebody has in some way hurt you deeply, unfairly. And in your pain pocket, you're angry. And you say, I will withhold my love and affection from that person because of what they did to me. They weren't good enough, and neither do they deserve forgiveness. All of a sudden, I have a wax paper over my heart. I'm going to withhold that love. You know what it is? It's perfection. They didn't do what I wanted to do, therefore I will not forgive them. Letter C, this is the big one. Perfectionism is a dishonest standard when used against myself in forgiving myself. One of the greatest challenges in the Christian life is this. When Christians make a mistake or have a major issue in their life, most people are willing quickly to forgive other people, but they're not so willing to forgive themselves. You know what that is? It's perfectionism standing in the way of the ink of God's pen to forgive me and to forgive myself. And so, number one, perfectionism, it's a wax paper that prevents forgiveness, receiving it, giving it to others, or even forgiving myself. Number two, the second barrier I'd like to share is something called unbelief. Unbelief. Read with me Hebrews 3:19 in your notes. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. So you know the story. 12 spies go into the land of Canaan in their 40 days. They come back with a report. 10 of them said, there's no way we can go into that land. They are too strong and too big. Two guys, Joshua and Caleb, had a different story. They said, no, God is with us. He will conquer on our behalf. The 10 gave a bad report to about 2 million people. Word got around. You know what happened? They began to grumble and complain. And God says, when he heard the grumbling and complaining of all these people, he says, okay, you are not going to go in. And so that entire generation died off. And the next generation got to go in. But you know who the two were, the only two from that old generation? Joshua and Caleb, the two that believed God. Now in the book of Hebrews, here's what it says. They could not enter into the land of Canaan because of what? Unbelief. You know what that is? It's wax paper. You may have something in your life. Maybe it's a mistake that's huge. Maybe it's a deep hurt. Whatever it is. And God is calling you to offer up faith where your greatest failure is. And if we do not give him our faith, he doesn't have that which we need to work with. Here's what he said in Matthew 13. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. Jesus is in his hometown area, and he's there and he wants to do a bunch of miracles. You know what it says? He couldn't do many. You know why? He saw unbelief. People didn't have faith for him. And you know what it was? He saw the wax paper. And he says he couldn't act on their behalf because of their unbelief. Listen, you and I have to take a look at our hearts and say, is there any unbelief in my life that's preventing the power of God to work through me, to forgive me, and to deal with the anger, whatever's in my pain pocket? Unbelief's a biggie. You know why? God is attracted to faith. When David went to the battlefield, when the children of Israel, and then there was Goliath, you know, it was a standoff. David comes on the scene, and he says, I'll take him on. You know what happened? He brought faith with him. There was not faith with the army, but there was faith in David in the middle of a battlefield. God shows up and delivered Goliath into his hands. Faith attracts the power of God. Unbelief dilutes it. So whatever you got going in your life, you got any perfectionism? You got to deal with that. Number two, unbelief. check our hearts and we say, hey, am I trusting and believing God for a miracle? Even when it doesn't seem likely, God is attracted to a mustard seed of faith. Number three, the third barrier of forgiveness is something I'll call stubbornness. Stubbornness. Read with me the verse from the Amplified Bible. It's in your notes. So circumcise the foreskin of your mind and heart. Be no longer stubborn and hardened. It's an interesting verse. God talks about stubborn people. You know what stubbornness is? It's a wax paper spiritually. Some people just want it their way. And can I tell you, that will block giving forgiveness, it will block receiving it, and it will block receiving life. He says, circumcise. That's a term of cutting away the foreskin of your mind and heart. In other words, our minds and our heart have films of unbelief or stubbornness in them. And he says, don't be stubborn and hardened any longer. You know, I've come to realize in my own life, I try to be pretty easygoing, but I have found pockets of stubbornness. You know what it is? I kind of want to do it my way, God. I want to do it the way I thought it should play out. And so maybe you're here today, and maybe you have stubbornness in your own life. You know what it does? It blocks. There's nothing wrong with the ink and the pen. It's all about the condition of the heart to receive it. Number four, the fourth barrier is what I'll call unworthiness. Unworthiness. So read with me Ephesians 1:6 in your notes. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Circle the word accepted. You see, this is a word from God, from his pen, that says, because of grace, you are accepted. Now, here's the deal. When we make a major mistake in our life, we feel unworthy. And if we don't get past the unworthiness, we will never lay hold of his acceptance of us. And if he accepts us, we need to accept ourselves. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He went out and he wept bitterly. He knew he had blown it. But here's what he had to do. He had to work through the failure to let go of his unworthiness to get to the point of saying, wait a minute, because of grace, I'm accepted fully by Christ Jesus himself. David, horrible sin with Bathsheba. Had her husband killed. I mean, it was bad. I think he had to deal with this whole thing about, can you believe I did that? But he had to work through it and say, wait a minute, God will accept me because of who he is. It's not my worthiness, it's his grace and acceptance that therefore, because he accepts me, I can accept myself. Romans put it this way. Paul wrote, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Here's the thought. You can bring praise to God when you accept yourself and you love yourself despite your failures. It says, because of his acceptance of us, we can accept ourselves and it brings praise to him. So that's number four. And finally, number five. The fifth thing that I want to talk about as a barrier is this. I'm going to call it head to heart. Head to heart. I want to explain this. It's a little bit different. A couple days ago, I was at home in my bedroom, and I was in front of the mirror, and I had a tape measure. And I tried to measure the distance between my head, my mind, my brain, and my heart. And this is what I figured out in a non-scientific way. For me, it's about 15 inches between my head and my heart. Now, in Matthew 18, listen closely. Here's what Jesus said. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Now, he says it's got to be from your heart. Romans 10, listen to this. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's all about the heart. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, here's the point. Head to heart. And I'll be very honest with you, the people. This is probably my biggest challenge. I know a lot of things in my head, but I have to get them 15 inches down into my heart. And you know what's in between the head and the heart? A bunch of wax paper. And you know what that is? It's perfectionism. It's unbelief. It's stubbornness. It's unworthiness. I have to somehow work on getting what I know truth-wise in my head down into my heart. You know why? It sets us free. I've had things in my head for many years. I've known truth, but God into the heart so that it's experiential. It's head knowledge versus heart experience. So you may be here, and maybe you've dealt with anger or condemnation or guilt or whatever it is for years. I would venture to say this. You know what the problem is? You've got a lot of truth in your head. But not until you go about 12 to 15 inches south and you get it in your heart will you be set free. There is a difference. Head knowledge is one thing, heart experience is another. Jesus said you forgive people from your heart, including yourself. And so the only way you and I get set free is when the truth goes from, it goes down into the heart, and somehow I feel free of it. I feel different. I feel a peace. And so this whole point about the head to the heart, it's taken me decades in some things to get what I know in my head to my heart. Maybe the same for you, but it's wax paper. It's the stuff that is in my life, my personality that I got to work on, that perfectionism. Wow, I need to deal with that. I need an honest standard of what I apply to other people and I apply to myself. Unbelief, you got any pockets of unbelief where God has said, I'm going to do something, and he takes his pen and he writes it on your life, and you can't see it in the other place? There's something in our hearts that need to be dealt with. Stubbornness. Wow. Am I stubborn? I mean, do I need you to soften me so that I'm more pliable? Number four, unworthiness. Listen, don't ever let your worst mistake define you. Let grace define it. That's what the acceptance of Christ does for us. And number five, head to the heart. 15 inches, whatever it is for you, getting the truth from our mind into our hearts. A final few thoughts from Dr. Gregory Jantz's book. Here's what he writes. It's in your notes. Whatever void is in your life, he's able to fill it. Whatever pain is in your life, he's able to comfort it. Whatever guilt is in your life, he's able to forgive it. Whatever shame is in your life, he's able to cover it. And whatever fear is in your life, he's able to relieve it. And may I add, whatever anger is in your pain pocket, he can deliver you from it when we bring it to him. Let's bow for prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to take just a few moments, and I want you to think about what's in your pain pocket. Have you got any unresolved anger? And the question is, what wax paper do you need to deal with inside yourself? Perfectionism? I've got a dishonest standard. I'm generous to other people, but not so much toward myself. Am I really believing God for what he wants to do in my life? Or do I have unbelief and pockets of it within me? Stubbornness. Something we need to yield up to him. Unworthiness. God, help me to forgive myself. And lastly, head to heart. What truth do you know in your mind and your head that you need God to go about 12 to 15 inches down so it becomes a heart experience and not just a head knowledge? I want to close with one central thought. I believe the greatest challenge, one of them, to the Christian today is this. It's forgiving yourself. There may be somebody here today that you have had two standards in your life. One for forgiving and extending grace to others, but you are very, very hard on yourself. And today I want you to make a decision that if that's the wax paper in your heart that's preventing freedom, receiving it from God, or forgiving yourself, you make a decision to forgive based on God's word, the ink from his pen, and you will forgive yourself. Just do that right now. Heavenly Father, in this sacred moment, I pray for the person here that has buried anger and disappointment toward themselves into their pain pocket, and it's been there for years. And I pray that your Spirit, through the truth of what's been shared today, that person will go after the wax paper that is coating the surface of their heart that's preventing them from forgiving themselves. May you, this moment, in this service, touch them, that you would do a circumcision in their mind and heart. You will set them free. They will release it. They will give you their anger because they will receive forgiveness from you and they will forgive themselves. Father, we thank you that Jesus came to set us free. And so I pray for every person here, the toughest journey of their life will be getting the truth of your word from their head into their heart so that they can live free lives in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.